This is ensemble member Aura Jones, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
Hi, I'm Polly Carl, Director of Artistic Development here at Steppenwolf, and I'm sitting with Terrell Alvin McCraney, the playwright of the brother-sister plays. Terrell, I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and I'm going to start off with one that I'm just curious. This is the third time you've done these plays, right, and you've had a really overwhelming response to them. In fact, compared to O'Neill and Sam Shepard in the New York Times. tell me about how you're weathering all this attention around these plays.
Well, I think the great part about the plays and doing them three times is watching them with the audience. It's the most important part for me is the interaction between the audience and the actors themselves, or the plays and the stories that are being told. Because for me, the most important part about theater is the interaction between that live interconnectedness, the fact that we didn't film this and make it into a movie, which we might do one day, but that's not what they're built for. They're built to be conversations, discourse, engagement between actor, story, and audience. So that is awesome. I love that. McCarter was different than the public. The public will be different than Steppenwolf. It's incredible and different to see that interaction. Being compared to O'Neill and Shepard, I don't read reviews, so I missed that one, I'm sure, and rightly so, because I'm born the day after O'Neill on Arthur Miller's birthday, so I should have been compared to Miller. No, that was a joke. That's a joke. Don't go and tell whoever wrote that's what I said, but it's a joke. I am born on the same day as Arthur Miller and Richard Nelson, by the way.
That's great.
Yeah, it's the day of playwrights.
Do you think you'll make any significant changes in the play this time around, or we keep it pretty much as we saw at the Public and McCarter?
Well, the plays change significantly based on the actors, and so what happens is, you know, we hope that the fit is right. And then you see an actor in the suit, or you see an actor in the role, and you realize, oh, well, this actor's bringing a little more here, so we may have to let this out a little more. Or this actor is smaller in a way and more intimate, and you may just have to refine the suit so it fits, hem it in, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that sort of thing is common, and I love to do that, especially with a company like this. I mean, Alana Arenas and I grew up together in Miami, and to be doing a play with her at her theater, you know, she's an ensemble member here, to be doing a play with her is like extraordinary. So I'm just excited to watch her fit these roles and characters onto herself. And also Glenn Davis is a good friend of mine, Philip Brannan, Kay Todd, everybody is such a wonderful cast, so you just want to really watch what they do with the roles and help in any way I can to make the plays and them speak to each other.
The brother-sister plays sits at the heart of our season about authenticity and belief. Mm. Can you talk about how this season theme resonates in these plays? You know, how these characters wrestle with how to forge an authentic identity and a code of beliefs within the context of the plays?
Sure. I mean, the notion of authenticity, the notion of idiosyncraticness or identity is rampant through these plays, specifically because they don't line up like a trilogy should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because they specifically look at the world through a perspective that is different each time. For instance, in The Red and Brown Water is mostly from the perspective of this young woman, this young girl who's becoming a woman, growing into adulthood, and what the world seemed like around her. It's the same community, some of the same characters, but how the world interacted with her and how she perceived that. And then we go into Brother Size, which is a play about three men, three brothers, if you will, and two actual filial biological brothers, and one and a friendship, and we look at the world through a very masculine lens, unabashedly so, and its strength and its tautness, its austere nature, and try to find the delicate moments in it,
mm-hmm.
And how what it means to be a black man and be a brother. In a familial way and in a fraternal way. And then we go into Marcus, which is all about a boy coming of age, a coming out story, if you will, but also accepting the identity of a long legacy mm-hmm. of family, of community, of and how that community reflects and refracts about you. So we have one community that is being turned on every side, or at least three sides, so we can look at the individuals inside of it. And right then we see that, or we give the impression that a community full of quote-unquote black people who are working class, who we normally can stereotype as something, we actually can't, because we see them from all different perspectives. A man who may be cheating on a woman can seem like one thing, but then he comes in and also is very concerned about her happiness or about her church-going practices. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, so it flips and allows us to see depth in character. And the notion of faith is very strong in these plays, because there is an element of magic, an element of something we can't quite see coming. Mm-hmm. And there are people within all of these plays who bring up this world that is outside of our vision. And they have to have faith or believe in something they cannot see, something that someone else may be able to see and go along with it. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of faith is inherent in all of these plays. And it's also in a trickier way between the audience and the actors, because there is no set. Mm-hmm. There are no trees that will come up, or there are no magical rotating sets that will change you to the next room or from a porch to the inside. So when the actors turn out and say, it's now evening, or we are now out by the bayou, or we're now under the car, in that moment is an act of faith. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. the audience has to leap with us and go there. We can't actually take you there, but I'm going to say it, and then all of us in our mind's eye are going to do something we cannot actually see. We will believe together. And so that belief is in itself is an act of faith, which is what keeps the theater most holy, is that hope and that faith, that belief.
These plays all stand alone. They could be plays in and of themselves. What made you decide on a trilogy for them?
Well, I think there was an interest once the third was made of putting them together and see what conversations they had, what resonance mm-hmm. they brought together. And I wasn't really keen on the idea initially, but then one day we sort of just had a reading of all three together. And what began to emerge for me was that there were a lot of entryways that the plays offered. Mm-hmm. They offered a lot of people a lot of ways into theater in a way that I felt like we don't always see, we don't always have. Brother Size in itself is sort of a piece that has the ability to call on people who don't normally go to the theater and make them feel sort of a comfort. Because there is no set, because there is no sort of formality to it. It's sort of these men, they come in, they tell you a story. And In the Red and Brown Water, with its music and its lyricism and its poetry, and also Marcus, which is extremely funny, and to me, I think it's funny, so that's important. But that's extremely funny. But also has a sort of coming of age story, and each one of these pieces has a theatrical device that is beautiful in itself. However, the stories are so different. Rarely do we see a tragedy or sort of a prose piece about black women. Rarely do we see a sort of love trio about black men. And even more rarely do we see a farce, as it were, about gay black men on stage. And so these plays have a really different story to tell, but in some really fascinating old school ways. And I thought that blending of the old and the new, mixing together right in the space, was important. It was mm-hmm. important to say that these plays, these stories, these people aren't just about one thing. They are about many. So for me, that's why putting them together in a cycle like this felt right.
I don't know why it hits me so hard, but when in Red and Brown Water, you know, when Oya, there aren't too many people in all three plays. The outsider community doesn't enter the play very much. I mean, it really seems to take place more within all three plays, within a fairly contained sense of place. And the few outsider moments, one is when this potential Oya has this potential to be a track star, and this guy, you know, comes and says, "Hey, I can, you know, I can give you a scholarship. I can make you a star." Kind of comes out, you know, in a sense, it feels like from nowhere, the way that you've done it in the play, and that choice that she has between, you know, going away and staying at home and taking care of her ill mother, that relationship between, you know, what's outside of our community and outside of our family and what our responsibilities are within. Can you just talk about how that functions for you within the plays? Because it feels like an important part of the world you've created in all three plays.
Well, they're called the brother-sister plays for a reason, and it's about it is about that sort of interlocking, that responsibility, but not just responsibility, but there's sort of a soul tie to all of these people. I mean, though, you know, even in Marcus, the best way to look at it is you watch Marcus sort of have to deal with his own sexuality through the vehicle of everyone else. Everyone else has an opinion about his sexuality, and not the same opinion, not a myopic view. It would be great if the sort of community came together and said, this is how we all feel. But every single person has a sort of varying degree on how they feel about Marcus's sexuality or about him as a person. And so that for me is important because because every person in life has a moment where we look at our society, the world that surrounds us, and we can either reject what the trope that the way they see us. We see you as this. That is what the community says, society says. And at some point you can either say, okay, I accept that, I take those on, or you can say, actually, no, I reject that. I rebel against that. Or you can do, of course, a variation on the theme. Oh, I accept these things, but I don't accept these things. I'm going to work to change those. And those are important times in your adult life, because that is when you're identifying yourself. That is when you're saying, no, actually, this is what I'm going to identify as. And the more you try to say this about me, this is what I'm going to actually say. So anyway, I'm saying all of that to say is that brother-sister isn't necessarily about not just about familial ties, although there are a lot of familial ties in these plays. It's also about the way in which one connects to their community, how they enter it, how they exit it, how they relate, communicate, and have a discourse with a community that may be for them, may be against them, may you know, be pulling away from them. And it's very important to me because I've always felt a sort of a need to reconnect. I mean, there's a great poet an activist, a man named Essex Hemphill, who talks greatly about especially gay black men not being extricated from the black community, and that if they would allow, or if we could allow some sort of integration back into the community, that community could heal. Because with the taking of the 1 in 10 black male from the community, you've also technically taken away a great talent of 10th. A very good deal of the talent has been drained from the community. And it's just interesting to me about, in these plays, this community is whole. It is, or at least it is a self-contained place. And we're watching how all of these little parts try and function and be themselves and also be a part of at the same time, which is a delicate balance, right? Being a part of the community means being both individual and a part of the whole. And that, I mean, that's not, I didn't make that up. That's Grecian. That's ancient. That goes beyond me.
We can't hold you accountable.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right. Well, Terrell, this has just been fantastic. I appreciate you sitting down with me this morning.
Yeah, sorry I talked so long.
You were awesome. Thank you. It was great. That was awesome. We could sit all day.